Now, 10 minutes after 8, just a quick note, today's morning show will start about 2 minutes later than usual because it's a little bit shorter than usual interview. First, let's check sports. Major League Baseball. The Brewers lost to the Pirates 8-7. The Cubs pounded Cincinnati 15-7, and the White Sox had the night off. This afternoon, the Cubs will host the Boston Red Sox down at Wrigley. Tonight, the Brewers play the Pirates again in Pittsburgh, and the White Sox play the Giants out in San Francisco. Northwoods League Baseball, the Kenosha Kingfish beat the Traverse City Pit Spitters 5-2 last night. The Kingfish stay on the road to play the Growlers in Kalamazoo tonight. Now check on the long-range forecast details from the National Weather Service. We'll get you all the way through the 4th of July. Today, cloudy and warm, a high of 79. Tonight, sunset will be 8:34. A clear night, mild conditions, overnight low 59. Weekend looks gorgeous. Both days, sunny and warm, a high of 83. And then on Monday, the 4th of July, partly sunny and warm, 30% chance of rain with a high of 82. Looking ahead a little bit further, we have some time here. Tuesday, partly sunny, 50-50 chance of rain. Tuesday's high, 81. Wednesday, partly sunny, 40% chance of rain, a high of 79. And next Thursday, sunny and 80. So right now, wind is from the north at 9 miles per hour. Humidity is manageable at 59%. The numbers look like this. 78 degrees in Kenosha, 76 this morning in Racine, 75 to the west for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is up in about 1 minute.
And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm really pleased that on today's program, I can speak with Mark Eichner, who is the music director and conductor of the Racine Concert Band. And we often have Mark on the program to talk about what the band is up to, but we made a special point of including Mark on the morning show because the Racine Concert Band is about to embark on its 100th season. And this makes them one of the longest continuously operating musical entities in southeastern Wisconsin. And the summer kicks off with a concert this Sunday evening, July 3rd, 7:30 in the Racine Zoo in the Kiwanis Amphitheater. And then Sunday night concerts to follow thereafter, through August 14th. And by the way, the Racine Concert Band will also be part of Racine's 4th Fest Parade on Monday morning, July 4th. And they are one of, I think, two entities that have been a now just one. Mark's holding up one finger. Now just one entity that has been in every single 4th of July parade. So what fell away? What fell to the side?
It was the Racine Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps.
Oh, dear. And so now it is just the Racine Concert Band who has this proud legacy of having never missed a Racine 4th Fest parade. And again, that's Monday morning. But otherwise, Sunday night concerts will feature the Racine Concert Band. And Mark Eichner is here not only to talk about this special festive centennial season, but also to take a little bit of a look back over the history of the ensemble and his own history with it. He has been their conductor for about 20 years. It's interesting. I also spoke not too long ago with Craig Gall, your counterpart with the Kenosha Pops Concert Band, and it's 20 years that he's been on the podium there. So I think both ensembles have really flourished under continuous and excellent leadership through all that time. Anyway, Mark Eichner, we welcome you back to the morning show.
I'm glad to be here.
So glad we can have this opportunity. Let's talk, first of all, about these 20 years that you have been at the helm of the Racine Concert Band. And tell us about the invitation, when it came to you, under what circumstances, and what was going on with your life at that point, and if this gig made immediate sense to you. I mean, was it easy to say yes to this opportunity?
Well, I'd been the conductor of two community music groups prior to my affiliation with the Racine Concert Band, and that was really a step into a whole new world for me, you know, having been associated mostly with university bands and professional orchestras. And it's a different world with community music groups, because there's a lot of people who have very strong feelings about the kind of programming that it should that should be included, and the kind of players who should be playing. And there's just a lot of different constituencies out there. And so having left two groups on friendly terms before that, I had pretty much decided that I was probably not going to conduct a community music group again. But Dave Christensen was the band president at the time when Del had decided to retire.
Del Eich, who was with the band for quite some time.
27 years, yeah. And he invited me to be a candidate for the Racine Band. And it differed from the others because it's the official band of the city. They had a pay scale for the musicians. And so the potential there was to become selective in the kinds of musicians who were playing and to have a high performance standard. And that attracted me to the position.
Very good. So you took it on then 20 years. Did you, 20 years ago, at that time, did you anticipate that 20 years later you would still be on the podium, or did you envision it being perhaps a shorter-term engagement?
Well, you always hope for a long and happy marriage. and just as in a marriage, there's going to be ups and downs and issues that have to be resolved. And some of them came from within and some from without, and there have been financial difficulties and other kinds of pandemic and all kinds of obstacles. But we figured out a way, and right now we have a very strong board of directors led by President Ryan Bignalda and a new executive director, Katie Humphrey, and they give very good leadership, and we have a lot of volunteerism within the band that keeps us going.
Right. It's and it seems to be playing at a very high level of musical excellence at the moment. You mentioned the fact that this is the official band of the city of Racine. Tell us more about that relationship between the band and the city of Racine. Exactly what is that relationship, and has that relationship changed at all over the course of your tenure?
Very much. The band started as the Racine Park Board Band in 1923. And at that time, it was just a unit of Parks and Recreation. And that continued even through a couple name changes. It changed to the Racine Municipal Band, and in 1996 to the Racine Concert Band. But the band was taken out of the Racine Park and Recreation budget in 2004. And so at that time, we moved into the mayor's. We became a line item in the mayor's budget. And then not long after that, we were privatized. We continued to receive a city subsidy, but there's not really a lot of oversight from the city. And we become our own independent arts organization.
Hmm. And, of course, we think of the group primarily for these concerts that they give on Sunday nights at the Kiwanis Amphitheater on the grounds of the Racine Zoo. Tell us about the relationship between the band and the zoo. And is that complicated for you to be performing, in a sense, on someone else's property?
Well, all of our concerts are on someone else's property.
I suppose, yeah.
The zoo, the band played at the zoo as early as the 1950s, I think. But it didn't become a home to the zoo until the Kiwanis Club built the amphitheater, and I believe that was 1982 or 84, somewhere right in there. And part of the motivation for building the amphitheater was to make a permanent home for the Racine Concert Band. And just as the band, the zoo was privatized, and so all of the buildings on the zoo property belong to the zoo. And so that gives us another third party to work with, but they've been very cooperative, and we've been presenting concerts there continuously for almost 30 years now.
Tell us about the activities of the band outside of this season of Sunday night concerts during the summer, because there is more music making that occurs, including a wonderful concert that the band delivered not too long ago. But tell us in general about that facet of the band's activities.
In addition to all the free concerts at the zoo, in normal years, we have been partnering with the Racine Unified Schools and presenting programs with the student bands at Park and Horlick and Case. And they're very helpful to both groups because they get some in-class instruction, and we prepare some music together and perform together on the concert. Both bands play, and then we have a grand finale. And it's worked really well for both our band and for the students. During the pandemic, we weren't able to give those concerts. And during the most recent year, we played at churches and at UW Parkside in January. But because it is the centennial year, we had some very special programs that started as soon as January. We had a piece, a commission piece, funded by the Racine Arts Council, composed by Jim Crowley, and it was a collaboration with four poets from the Kenosha Racine Poets Laureate organization. And so it was a piece of words and music, and it was very exciting to put all that together.
Wow.
And it came off and was really quite successful. And then in our most recent May concert, we had yet another commission funded this time by the Lang Family Foundation and the Racine Community Foundation. And the composer selected was Daniel J. Van Gelderen, a Milwaukee composer who's had some great successes writing there for the Bel Canto Chorus and the Milwaukee Chamber Orchestra. And that concert was a very strong success, too.
So that has been something that's been a part of the band for quite some time, and I know you've actually played in all kinds of different venues all around the city, including the Racine Theater Guild and I think Memorial Hall and a couple of other different churches, and most recently my church, Holy Communion. We're pleased to host you. I should think that's an interesting challenge when you are in a different place and kind of figuring out where everything goes, and of course it's no small feat to move a band and all of its stuff in and out of these different spaces.
That's one of the challenges, and it takes a lot of help from our friends, and there's a lot of logistics that go with moving an organization that large.
Let's hear just a little bit from this most recent concert to help celebrate the band's centennial. This was, I think, the first piece on the program, and it's a piece by Robert Russell Bennett. Remind me the title of this piece and maybe just say a quick word about it before we hear the last couple minutes of it.
The piece is The Suite of Old American Dances by Robert Russell Bennett, who is best known for being the orchestrator for Richard Rodgers and Lerner and Lowe, Cole Porter, Jerome Kern. But in addition to his work on Broadway, he had a long and storied career as a composer in his own right.
So here is essentially most of the final movement of this Wonderful piece for band by Robert Russell Bennett, played by the Racine Concert Band, conducted by Mark Eichner. Racine Concert Band, and at the helm, Mark Eichner, my guest on today's morning show here on WGTD. The Racine Concert Band is about to embark on its 100th season with a concert this coming Sunday evening, July 3rd, 7:30, in the Kiwanis Amphitheater on the grounds of the Racine Zoo, and then Sunday evenings to follow through August 14th. During the month of July, those Sunday night concerts are at 7:30. In August, however, August 7th and 14th, those concerts are actually at 7. And explain to our listeners why the time changes.
Well, the Kiwanis Amphitheater faces due west. So until the sun gets low enough in the sky, the musicians are blinded by a bright sun.
Mm.
So we have to give the sun its its due course to move behind the trees before we can start the concert. Mm-hmm. And when it sets a little earlier in August, we start earlier.
By the way, I wanted to ask you what that amphitheater is like to play in. Certainly, as far as the audience is concerned, it's an absolutely lovely setting with the Lake Michigan right there in the background. Of course, you guys don't really get to see the lake from where you are within the amphitheater. But what is that space like for you? I mean, kind of musically, acoustically, does it work okay?
It does. It's very simple, but it does work, and it's a beautiful setting, and it's a vast space. You know, for my taste, it'd be nice if it was a slightly smaller space, because it can easily accommodate thousands of people in such a large space.
The grounds, you mean?
Yes. So, you know, we like to encourage the audience members to come closer to the actual stage, because it's a more intimate experience.
Right. How about the amphitheater itself? That actually seems a little bit on the cozy side, or does it work okay?
We couldn't be much larger than we are now. Yes, it's 40 musicians. It's about all you can put in there.
Right. So this is the 100th season of the Racine Concert Band, and as I think you've already touched on, the ensemble has gone by a couple of different names over the course of its long history. What can you tell us about how all of this began? And we should maybe mention parenthetically that Del Aish, your predecessor as director of the band, wrote a really fascinating book called And the Band Played On, which sketches this history in really remarkable detail, and sketches the history even before 1923, when this band was officially organized.
Well, the founders of the band were the Schulte brothers, who were also involved with the founding of the Racine Symphony about in the very same years. And they had a very active schedule at the time. They would perform 3 or 4 concerts a week, the same concert, but still, they were around the city, and it was a hard-working band. At the time, they only had, only men were allowed to perform in the band.
Really? I'd forgotten that.
Yes, it was only after World War II that women were allowed to play in the band. And then when John Opfert Cook followed them, he was the music man of Racine. I mean, he was the real deal of Professor Harold Hill, because he taught in the schools, but he wasn't an employee of many of the schools he worked for. The students paid him directly for lessons and to participate in the bands.
Wow.
And he was driving all over the city every day, teaching lessons and conducting bands and writing many arrangements for the Racine Concert Band. We have a lot of manuscript arrangements that he's made for the band. And he was a very hardworking guy throughout his career.
Interesting.
And he was the first, he actually had his own library of band music, which made him the perfect person for the job.
Wow.
Later on, during Del Aish's years, the band was able to acquire about three different libraries, the Elks Band and a couple American Legion Band. And so right now we have 2 rooms full of file cabinets of band music that we've accumulated over the last 70 years or so.
I know that in reading Del Aish's book, one interesting little fact jumped out at me, which is that in the early years of the band, through a couple of different tenures, the tradition was for the concerts to end with the Star Spangled Banner, not to begin with the Star Spangled Banner, which I thought was really intriguing. And then at some point, of course, that gets flipped, and now every single concert starts with the Star Spangled Banner. I think that's the very, very first music we hear, right? On a typical concert.
During the Del Aish years, every concert started with the Star Spangled Banner and ended with Stars and Stripes Forever.
There you go. So over the course of the 20 years that you have been the director of the band, what is your sense of how kind of the makeup of the band has changed? Or by and large, I mean, there's certainly plenty of people who have played in the band those entire 20 years. So maybe there's not been a drastic change, but has there been any kind of change that you can think of?
Well, we're very proud of the fact that it's a hometown band. I mean, the people you see on stage live in our neighborhood, and there are some people that come in throughout the community from without the community, but it's very much a local group, and we have a lot of music educators in the group, people that teach in the Racine Unified and other schools around, and so we're connected. And a lot of the students who are studying instruments study with those teachers.
That's part of what makes it feel like it's really part of the community. So let's talk through this upcoming season and have you give at least some highlights of what is going to be offered up in this summer of 2022. Maybe ahead of that, let's just talk briefly about something you touched on very, very quickly, which is the matter of COVID. And although I don't remember vividly, I am assuming that in the summer of 2020 that you were essentially shut down, as was the Kenosha Pops Concert Band that summer of 2020. Am I right?
We were, and that was very difficult for everyone. We did have a February concert in that year, so we didn't go a whole year without performing.
Mm.
And so we have 100 years of continuous performances. But yes, that took a toll on everyone. And we were so happy to resume a full season of summer concerts in 2021. And now in 2022, we have a full year-long season. So this is the first time really since 2019 that we've had a full season of programs.
So tell us how things are going to kick off on this coming Sunday evening, July 3rd, again 7:30 in the Kiwanis Amphitheater on the grounds of the Racine Zoo.
Well, it's the Independence Day program, and so we're very proud to present a program of American music by American composers. It contains some of the classic flag waver compositions by Morton Gould, The American Salute, and of course, America the Beautiful, variations on America, but also music from the folk traditions, some music from the American Revolution, arranged by Eastman composer Samuel Adler, and another folk's Amazing Grace. And so it's and Kyle Miskovic, our xylophone soloist, and he's also going to sing America the Beautiful on that program, too.
He's a talented singer, talented young man. That's great. Very good. On Sunday, July 10th.
That's our Bastille Day concert, and so there's a lot of French music on the program. We begin with the march by Louis Gan, the Father of Victory, which is from the French Revolution. And then ballet music by Gounod, and a suite of music from Carmen by Bizet. And our guest artist for the day is Jeannie Hatfield, who's been singing with the band ever since she was a candidate for Miss Wisconsin. And she'll be singing four tunes by George Gershwin, and also other favorites like I Love Being Here With You and I Only Have Eyes For You. Mm. Ryan Rignalda is the trombone soloist, and we also have music from the Hansel and Gretel by Humperdinck, and festive music from Faust by Gounod also.
Oh, yeah.
So it's mostly a French program with some big band favorites sung by Jeannie Hatfield.
Very good. Yep, she's a longtime favorite. July 17th.
The guest artist is Allison Hull, and she'll be singing also music from Carmen, the Habanera, and Odel Mio Amado Band by Donati. And then she comes back later on to sing Love's Old Sweet Song and All the Things You Are by Jerome Kern. Also featured on the program is music by Adorinos Respighi from the Ancient Airs and Dances, and a suite by William Grant Still, The Little Red Schoolhouse, which is kind of a work that recalls his boyhood in Mississippi, where he attended a one-room schoolhouse.
Wow, yeah. one of the great black composers of the 20th century. And I know Allison, of course, is one of our voice teachers over at Carthage, but she also teaches, in fact, primarily teaches at Parkside. And did your 10 years cross? I mean, when you were still teaching at Parkside, was she part of the voice faculty, or did that come later?
No, I was chair of the department when we hired her.
Oh,
so
wow.
I've known her for as long as she's been coming to Kenosha.
Very good. Well, she is such an asset in so many ways. July 24th.
The guest artist is a whole band. We're sharing the stage with the Racine Unified Lighthouse Brigade. Laura Shapovalov is the conductor of that group. And they're going to play the Star Spangled Banner, and they're going to join the band later in the program. And it'll be very crowded for that one.
Yeah, right.
They're going to stand on the side and in front of the band. And Dan Hoffman has arranged a medley of cumbias for the band. And then we're also going to join forces on a piece called Jump Up, which is from a Jamaican folk suite by Harold Walters. And the big pieces on the program, we're going to repeat from the May concert, the Merry Wives of Windsor Overture, and the dance suite of dances by Carl Maria von Weber. And then Jacob Wolf, a member of the band, is going to play a solo by von Weber, a rondo as
well. Oh, yeah. Talented young clarinetist. Very good. July 31st.
Well, you'll be our guest artist on the 31st.
Okay. I better show up.
And the overture is one of my favorites. An Overlook composer, the composer of Giselle, the great ballet by Adolph Adam. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play the overture to Queen for a Day. And then we follow that with a relatively new work by Stephen Reinecke, who has kind of become the modern-day Eric Leinsdorf of Eric Kunzel, of pop's conducting. And it's a piece called We're Eagle Soar, and I'm very taken with his music, and it's the first of his pieces we've programmed, but I expect bigger and more ambitious works to be on our programs in the future.
Yeah, something to look forward to. Great. I don't know the date for the first Sunday in August.
So that'd be Sunday, August 7th. Melissa Cardman is the guest artist.
Another colleague of mine over at Carthage, and a very talented singer who's sung a lot with the band.
And she's going to sing the very energetic Bolero by Bizet, Open Your Heart. And I've made my plans for the summer by John Philip Sousa.
Oh, fun.
And that's one of my favorites, just because there's such a great story that goes with the piece. Because after being on the road continuously for months and months and months, the Sousa band finally had a job at Coney Island where they could actually play at the same place every day for a couple of months. And they were so glad to be off the road. And so the song is sung from the standpoint of the singer who's telling any men who are interested, I've made my plans for the summer. I'm here with the band. Maybe I'll see you later in the fall.
Excellent. I love that. Very good. And then the season finale is on August 14th. And what is planned for that night?
Darlene Kelsey, who is a fantastic soprano singer, joins us for that concert. And she'll be singing a very popular work by Luigi Arditi, Il Bacio, The Kiss. And it's got some beautiful high notes, and she's just the one to sing them. And then she's followed with the Racine favorite, the Kringleville Polka. And then she comes back to sing later in the program, I Feel a Song Coming On and Getting to Know You by Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein. The big works on the program, we have The King's March by Richard Strauss and a Mozart overture to his only ballet, Les Petites Riennes, composed in Paris. And then La Boutique Fantasque, the fantastic toy shop, several movements from Rossini's suite arranged for orchestra by Adorino Respighi as well.
So I want to ask you just a quick question about how you put these programs together, and the kind of things you think about in terms of choosing what kind of music will comprise these programs. How much are you thinking about the band? How much are you thinking about the audience? And what kind of a balancing act are we talking about?
It's a Rubik's Cube. Because the great limiting factor here is that all of these concerts have to be put together in one rehearsal. So there's not a lot of detailed rehearsing that can go on. And so there are certain kinds of classical pieces that work really well, and many more that don't. That they just take more rehearsal time than we have. And so that's always an important consideration. But another, the other really important consideration is all the music has to pass the accessibility test. It has to be the kind of music that people will really enjoy the very first time they hear it. And so it's generally energetic music. Tempos are generally on the quicker side. And we draw from Broadway. We draw a lot of dance music. And, of course, the audience likes marches in the outdoor setting.
Right.
And we have many bands members who are strong soloists, and we like to feature them. We have some great singers also who are joining us, and we are partnering with community groups. So there's just a lot of moving parts there.
How long do you take to put together all of these programs? I mean, are we talking about days, weeks, months? I mean,
It takes about a month for it to come together, but it's pretty much continuous work during that month, because part of it's just the very unglamorous part of getting everything scheduled, finding out when everyone is available and when they can sing and can't sing, and same with the band soloists too. So the personnel for the concert has to always fit the music. Mm. And the band changes week to week too. I mean,
So when you talk about it being a Rubik's Cube, that's probably true in more ways than one in terms of kind of the moving parts that have to align for everything to go as well as it possibly can.
Absolutely.
Wow. No small matter. Well, we want to remind everybody that the Racine Concert Band's summer season, its 100th season of music making, will begin this Sunday, July 3rd, with a 7:30 concert in the Racine Zoo Kiwanis Amphitheater. And those are free concerts every Sunday night. And, of course, Sunday night concerts then will follow thereafter through Sunday night, August 14th. To finish out the program today, we're actually going to turn back to the memorable concert that the Racine Concert Band played back in May. Was it May 22nd or something like that, at Holy Communion Lutheran Church? So this was one of those indoor concerts. And I want to just add parenthetically, I wish people who love to go to band concerts in the outdoors, and I know that's really beautiful and fun, I wish more people took the opportunity to hear a band in a beautiful acoustic room, because it's a completely different experience, and in so many ways, musically, actually much more satisfying, because you're really hearing the orchestra or the band at its most beautiful. Certainly that was the case in this concert on May 22nd. That concert ended very memorably with a commissioned piece by Daniel Van Gederen. You mentioned this before, Fanfare and Celebration. Do you want to say anything about this piece before we play it for our listeners?
Well, it's a big responsibility just to take on the project in its inception. And there's always risk with the commission. You know, you don't know for sure that you're going to get the kind of piece that you hope for, and that it's going to connect first with the musicians and then with the audience. And so it's a great adventure, and it's always very satisfying when it works out well.
As it did in this case with this piece called Fanfare and Celebration, and of course with this entire 100th season being a celebration, it seemed really fitting indeed for this to be played. So we're going to play that for everybody right now. And with that, I want to thank you, Mark Eichner, the conductor and music director of the Racine Concert Band, for being my guest today on The Morning Show. We wish you and all of your musicians a very, very happy and exciting 100th season.
And if I may, can I add just a few logistical notes on getting into the free concerts?
Sure.
The zoo is closed during the concerts, and so it's not possible to enter at the main gate. So for free admission to the concerts, the zoo reopens 30 minutes before the downbeat, and the Augusta Street gate is open, and the gate at Main and Walton is also open for free admission to the concerts. There's no fixed seating at the Kiwanis Amphitheater, so the audience is encouraged to bring lawn chairs or blankets to sit on.
Very good. And enjoy, then, a beautiful night of music-making courtesy of the Racine Concert Band. Here they are with Daniel Van Gelderen's Fanfare and Celebration. Daniel Van Gelderen's Fanfare and Celebration, played by the Racine Concert Band under the direction of my morning show guest today, Mark Eichner. Again, they begin their summer performances this Sunday evening, July 3rd, 7:30 at the Racine Zoo Kiwanis Amphitheater.
And we are approaching 9 o'clock. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. NPR News and classical music on your gateway to public radio. At 9:01, we'll join NPR.